This is a Hot Pie Media original. Hi, I'm Deb, and this is my podcast.
You're listening to the Deb O'Keefe Podcast, the podcast where Deb O'Keefe doesn't know anything.
Are you a Specs Key Club member? If you're not, shame on you. Because if you shop at Specs, you should be. You should be enjoying so many more discounts and savings. You get special access to certain things at Specs when you're a Key Club member. Now, of course, they're not just about alcohol at Specs. Of course, you can get your spirits, your wines, your beer. They've got amazing selection of all of those, but they do finer foods as well. And right now, because the holidays are coming up, you can pick up Specs Maple Pecan Pie. Did I ever tell you pecan pie is my favorite? I made one once. It's fine, but it didn't have Crown Royal in it like the one at Specs does. That's available in-house right now. And of course, you can get all these great savings if you sign up for Specs Key Club. specsonline.com/keyclub. Do it now. Get those savings from Specs. Welcome, welcome, welcome. That is cheesy AF. But that's also that lady with the weird hair from The Hunger Games. Then I just went through my mind. But welcome. Hi. How are you? I mean that, but I'm asking you specifically because I have a great guest on today's show who asks that on a regular basis. And we'll find out why. And we'll talk to my guests and talk about some mental health. Taking care of yours being very important. And this is just coincidental that this is airing while this is happening in my neighborhood. But somebody on my street is currently having some work done. I actually don't know what they're having done, but they had a whole, oh my God, is it a flatbed? It was gigantor. It was the size of three cars of stone, natural stone. They had it delivered at the weekend, blocked the whole street up. It was a real pain in the ass, but now it's on their driveway and the guys are back there cutting it to, I guess they're making a path or something, but it is so loud and so annoying and the weather is incredible at the moment. So I've got my windows open and it's driving me a little bit insane. I feel like I'm that crazy old lady on the street that's standing in the front garden shaking her fist at those damn kids making all that noise. It's not going to go on forever, right? It's just going to be another few. It's been going on for about a week now. It's horrible noise. Horrible, horrible noise. But stick around today because I've got a great guest and he is going to be talking about taking care of things like that, the issues that get to you and maybe push you over the edge. Things like someone grinding some natural stone a few houses away. It's really getting to me. We have a great guest coming up, so stay tuned. All right, so without any more waiting around, let's get to today's guest. I'm super excited to talk to this guy. Not only is he a friend and a peer, but he also has a podcast. Now, I'm not in the business of going about telling you, hey, go and listen to these other podcasts. I just want all your ears on me. That's not really true. You can't just listen to one podcast. That's silly. But this is a podcast with a difference. We'll get into that in a second. And I think it's really important that things like this are out there. So big thank you to Tyler Coe. Hi.
Hey.
My guest today, and you're here not just because you're a friend, I like to talk to you, but you have a podcast and I guess the future goal of your podcast is so big. I love it. And what you're doing now is great too. So the podcast is called How Are We Today? It's a mental health podcast, but tell the listeners a little bit more about it because I won't be able to do it justice. It's your baby.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank you so much for having me on. Like, I feel like this is a long time coming. Like, we've bounced into each other, like, you know, like around town, like over the years. And it's always, we're always out of pocket, I guess. Mm-hmm. But
here we are.
I'm happy to come on and talk about the show. So yeah, How Are We Today is basically a kids show for adults, if you will, because we all have to get in touch with our inner child, which is something we as adults don't do a very good job of. So How Are We Today is a mental health show that I have medical professionals on. So therapists, psychiatrists, doctors, a lot of Dell Children's Medical Hospital just down the road. And then successful people, if you will. Now, doesn't necessarily mean like celebrity, fame, fortune, all that good stuff, but people that have been able to go through mental illness battles, mental health issues, disorders, whatever they may be, and show you that they can still live a very happy and functioning life. Because I think that's one of the biggest reasons why I wanted to do a show like this is that every time we talk about mental health, it's so heavy.
It can be, yeah.
And it's like a death sentence, and it's like a prison. You're never going to get out. You're just like a leper, and we ship you off to an island. And it's like, we don't want to touch that. And it's just not the case. So we try to make it a little bit more lively, and like, it's very raw, but like, there's a lot of silver linings with all of it.
That's great. And I think you're right. People do need to see success stories, because especially if you're in the middle of it, if you're in the middle of whether it's, a breakdown, just a slightly more heavy depression than usual, or a period of grief, something bad has happened, or you have, an underlying mental health condition rather than, just sort of generalized depression and anxiety, which of course is a condition, but, other things out there. Sometimes you're just so in it. There's no way out. You can't see that it will ever get any better than it is right now. And that feeling fucking sucks.
It's the worst.
And I've been there. Lived in it, a few different periods of time in my life where it's been so bad that you can't feasibly think of functioning.
No, because
another day.
It's one of those things that when you're in the dark, like you're talking about, like it is hard to see hope. You can't see it. But the thing that I found, at least in my experiences, is that there are people looking for you, which is the comforting feeling that I try and go back to. Because I had a really good friend of mine tell me, and this just like struck me. He was like, depression is the only sickness that tells you you're not sick.
Yeah.
So when you are in it, like you said, like you don't, you think I'm operating normally. This is fine that I'm not eating. I don't want to sleep because I'm just not tired. Like your body tells you these things that are not okay are okay.
That's so true. I hadn't ever really thought about it like that, but you're right. And that's the danger of it too. Mm-hmm. That's why I like your name, the name of your podcast, because, and thankfully recently in the media, and in the world, it seems, mental health struggles have been highlighted and had the light shone upon them in a more positive way, saying, we understand that people are going through things. And I guess we have to say thanks COVID for that. I don't know if it would have turned.
A little bit of a silver lining. Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
I don't know if the world would have turned so much on its sort of perceived reality when it comes to mental health illnesses, because I think oftentimes or in the past, if you were crazy, you're crazy. She's crazy. Mm-hmm. She's crazy, by the way. I hate that. She's crazy. That's such a write-off. But that's another subject. I'll rant about that another day. But, we were lumped into one condition. And, and that means, everyone's got to go to a mental hospital or be on drugs. And that's not always the case.
No, the guys with white suits are going to come get you. I don't know if this is typically an American thing. It is an American thing, but it could be a global thing, is that rarely do we, the individual, do anything to change unless it affects us directly. So if I'm not a part of a school shooting, or if I'm not dealing with an abortion or a gay friend or family member or whatever, it doesn't really bother me until it comes and knocks on my door. And with COVID, I think everybody kind of found that out, because the stats are boring. Like, you don't like stats, guy. Like, do you know that one in every four people? That's the thing. One out of every four people deal with a mental health episode or illness every single year in America.
Wow.
So all of us with COVID, they're
huge.
And I always talk about this on the show when I bring up stats, which I always say on the show, like, I'm not a medical expert. I just read what is given to me. But
they can be so powerful.
They can be. And I say that those are the ones that are reported. So those are the people that tell others that they're mentally ill or they're going through an episode. So those are the one out of every four that we only know about. But to your point, it did highlight how not okay everybody is.
Yeah.
We're not supposed to handle the world like this. Mm-mm. Even pre-pandemic, with everything we have, social media, social upheaval, all of it, it's so heavy for one person to have to deal with.
It is. Talking of it on like a humanity level, right? Not just dealing with COVID, but life. We're, as human beings, we weren't built for this. We weren't built to go to work and sit in your car for 30 minutes or 45 minutes or an hour or whatever it is, feeling like shit, because no one enjoys that drive.
No.
Our podcasts help, of course, tremendously.
Absolutely.
Then you get to work and you sit in an office, or, whether you're a teacher or whatever, you're doing something that is so just unnatural for the human body. And that takes a toll. If you think you're fine and everything's fine, there might be something in your life that if it was just tweaked a little bit, you'd be so much happier. And I think if you don't think, I'm not saying everyone has mental health problems, but I'm just talking about everyday life. The structure of a human's life nowadays is so out of whack for what we were made for. Yeah. And we take a long time to evolve. And I'm not just talking mentally, but physically, for things, for tasks, new things. We've still got Let me just go something really trivial here for a second, talking about evolution. Why do we still have toes? We don't need toes. I'm not like saying I don't like, I think that toes look better than having no toes, but how many times have you broken a toe because it's not like inside your system, right? I've broken so many toes.
My big toe's broken right now.
Right, but
I go to the doctor and he's like, you can't really do anything about it. He's like, you just got to let it be. And
I'm walk on it so much. Right. Okay. So toes. Here's my invention for toes, for feet in the future. We just web around them. All right. We web like your hand. You've got all your little bones in your hand. They're inside the sausage casing. Let's get some sausage casing around the toes so you can't whack. You can't slide off a slip and slide when you're 35 years old or whatever I was when I broke three toes on an inflatable slip and slide.
Oh my God.
It was my birthday party. I hired the slip and slide. But yeah, no, it got further. It got worse because they wouldn't heal. The slipper thing didn't work. The casts didn't work. The next step was going to be surgery. So it's a real pain in the ass. So whoever's in charge of all this, let's evolve better to not have toes that break easily. I'll go back to the real point now. There are systems in place here that are in place because we were doing a certain thing. And all these things that we're doing now, we don't have the systems in place for. And so I think, you know, physically, like the sitting, if you have a sitting job, oh, that's so bad for your body. But what do you do? I mean, you can get stand up desk, but some people don't have that option. You're a bus driver. You can't stand up bus drive. So yeah, I think having, you know, this one thing physically, we're sort of, I don't know, we have mental stresses put on us because of the physicality of the world that we live in. But then mentally, we're certainly not supposed to see as much blue light as we do from screens and computers. And we're not supposed to, I could write a huge list of the things that our bodies and our brains are not supposed to be doing on a daily basis. But, you know, you've got to make a living. You've got to do what you do. So that's where mental health and reaching out. And again, like I'm going to say again, how are we today? Asking someone, asking your friends and asking your family how they're doing. How are you today? And that's become kind of a bit more normal as well, because I think maybe more men hopefully are reaching out to their male friends, because I'm sure you would probably tell me, not stats guy, that maybe historically speaking, maybe women would reach out for help easier than a man. I'm not sure if that's the case, but it just seems to me men asking for help in general, just it's not as common.
No. And if we made that common, we could just save the planet. That's what it is. So fellas, like, you got to start talking. So for that stat, actually, to kind of hit you with a sledgehammer, 78% of people who commit suicide are male. Men do not talk. Men do not talk about their feelings. Men are less likely to go to a therapist. They are less likely to get help. All of that. And I think that's not like, it's not that surprising, right? But that number is not a good number. Mm-hmm. Another number that I look at as well, and that's kind of one of the reasons I did the show as well, is this number. The average amount of time between diagnosis and onset of a symptom and then getting help. So like when I was 12, I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. Getting proper help, that amount of time on average is 11 years. 11
so
years.
So much could happen.
Well, a ton happens. And for me, that's kind of like where going through my career in entertainment, starting off in radio, then doing TV and podcasts and film and stuff like that. I started to figure out, like, you got to do what you know. You got to write what you know. So I just got to talk about this. So diagnosed at 12 as bipolar, not getting proper help, not getting the proper medication. I was very common bipolar, which is very up and down for people who don't know who that is. It's like a roller coaster. So you go through manic episodes of where you can have extreme depression. You have exhaustion, insomnia, suicidal ideation. The highs are thrill seeking behavior, sex, drugs, alcohol, all that good stuff. I did all of that. Mm. I tried to commit suicide twice in my life and I didn't get proper help until I was about 25, 26. So I fit in with that average of not getting proper help for a better part of a decade.
All right. I have so many questions to unpack here. How does an 11-year-old boy, someone's little boy, probably still holding his mom's hands maybe, or sitting on her lap every now and then and, you know, hugging his dad, a little boy, how do you get diagnosed with a serious mental health problem? Mm-hmm. And then you don't get treatment until you're a grown ass man. You're a human man.
Yeah.
You're a man from a boy. You went through so many emotional changes anyway and physical changes that affect you. You went through all of that without any medication or how mind boggled.
I mean, it's tough for a lot of kids. I mean, medicine, us talking about it, the science has gotten better over the course of 20 years. But it's like Krakatoa when you're a young kid because you're going
to
Krakatoa, the volcano.
Oh.
You should Google that. That's
a big one.
It was the biggest. It was felt around the world. It literally changed the entire planet. It was insanity.
I'm going to Google that when I get home.
So a huge explosion when you're a kid, when you're going through puberty, you're going through these changes. And if you happen to have the onset of a mental illness, which is, that's pretty common for around that age.
I've heard that.
Because for me, it was like that. I was a very happy kid, straight A student. I was first in everything, tons of friends. I was one of those kids, I'm never going to touch drugs and alcohol. That's gross. Mm. Those are my favorite things now. I don't do them anymore, but I like those things.
Great coping mechanisms, short term.
Exactly. And I think that's what it is because we self-diagnose ourselves and we self-medicate, whatever that is, whatever your issue is. Mm. And we don't equate that to our mental health. It's just like, we just got to get rid of the pain to get through the day. You talk about toes, like a stubbed toe for somebody who isn't getting proper help for the mental health, that starts you off at zero at the beginning of the day.
Yeah.
That'll send you spiraling. Yeah. That'll make you go back to think about abuses and traumas and all that good stuff. So
the little things just aren't little all the time.
Well, when you're starting off below zero, basically every day, the little things, they become like they're boulders on you, right?
Yeah.
Like it's impossible to even move. And that's the biggest issue. So yeah, every time I come onto the show with How Are We Today, it's literally like that kid's like, you know, all the smiley faces. Right. I'm feeling sad today. I'm feeling anxious. And like getting you back in touch because you're talking about like, what do we do? I've been taught, at least by the medical community, because I'm still a convalescent. I'm learning all these things still. By no means am I like where I need to be as a human being, but it's walking. Mm. It's just sitting with a friend instead of talking to them, like literally sitting on a bench or just you and I sitting here and just like being in the moment. It's like going outside for a little bit, sitting Indian style. It's all these things we used to do when we were kids that we just got away from. We don't do anymore.
I think that that's a huge misstep in our sort of adult life is that we get this training as kids and hopefully good training, obviously a lot of kids don't get great role models or, you know, examples of how to be, but you know, you're given all this training to be able to be a functioning adult. And a lot of it is, you know, super elementary, you know, be polite, say please and thank you. And, you know, if you're stuck on a question, you know, you put your hand up and you ask for help. And then we were getting thrust into the world after education ends, whatever age that might be. And we then set in, right? We set in, I think, a bunch of terrible, terrible habits. And it's like, you know, you can go back to a bad toe or a bad back, right? You're going to start compensating to get around that pain. You're going to walk funny. Well, that's going to make your back hurt on the other side. You're going to, if you can't sit properly because you've got whatever, you're going to now lean. And there are all these things that we do when we're not set up right physically. And the same thing goes once you're out of that learning or that checking in with yourself stage that we did as children. All these terrible bad habits come up. You know, we seek, like you said, seeking solace in the wrong places. And then that just becomes normal. You know, in the beginning, you know, oh, I shouldn't be doing this. Or maybe you don't know you shouldn't be doing that, especially like you said in manic episodes, that's just what you're doing that day. But, and then now not only do we have to deal with the original issue, we've got to fucking peel back the layers of all of that new bad learned behavior. We need to try and unlearn it, or at least it's like going back to reinstalling Windows 01. You know, you're gonna get that first operating system back in and learn to take care of yourself and learn that if this isn't okay, nothing else is gonna be okay.
Yeah, it's so hard to go back to square
one. So hard.
It's one of the toughest roads that we all take is to get back to square one, whatever that is. Yeah. I've had to learn. Because we practice the bad habits.
We practice
the bad things. We're so good at the bad things.
I love
being good at the bad things. It's my favorite thing to do. And I got to get away from it. And it's so tough. It's like that practice that so many of us have. And I know, Deb, that you suffered from depression and anxiety. What is your favorite old pastime about going to bed and right when you hit the pillow? How about I go and think about everything in my life that I've done wrong and let it compound on me and squish me till I go to sleep.
Yeah, that was really good at that. I'm still really good at that, by the way.
It's my favorite thing to do. I do it every day.
I would say it's my favorite thing, but when I catch myself doing it, I will tell myself off. So I think that's a step.
Does that work for you? Because it's different for everybody. And that's a good, something I talk about on my show a lot. And I think it's really important in the context of mental health, because I started working with an organization called NAMI, which is the National Alliance on Mental Health Institute. So I've been going around a few schools in the Austin area to talk to kids. And one of the things we hammer home is that my depression is going to be different from yours.
Oh, definitely.
Just because we are clinically depressed or bipolar or schizophrenic, whatever you are, it is not the same.
Not the same.
We do not have the same processes. And the same things that might work for me will not work for you.
Yeah, exactly. It's, where we come from, all of those learned behaviors, all of the environmental factors. The unlearning is going to be the death of us.
So what do you do when you go to bed?
Going to bed for me has always been hard. Sleep is very elusive to me. Mm-hmm. So I've got lots of things that I do to try and sleep well. One of my clients, actually, not an ad, but it is an ad. Not right now. Early bird CBD gummies. Gave you some
you
the
did.
Other day.
I haven't. I'm scared. I know I shouldn't be scared.
To be with these, but if you've abused drugs or alcohol in the past, you might not want to go there. That's obviously a personal choice. For me, weed I've never really liked it, but these ones, these CBD gummies, they're just such a nice chill. So that's a nice way. to get to sleep at night, so I'm not sitting there thinking about everything terrible. I try and work really hard on my circadian rhythms, getting up in the morning and being in the morning sunrise. That's a very specific type of blue light that our body recognizes as the beginning of the day. And it doesn't wake you up so much. What it does is it helps reset your go to bed circadian rhythms that tell your body, now we got to start winding down. We're going to completely conk out in a little bit, but now is the time we start to calm down. And I've actually just read up a lot. Again, I probably learned that when I was, 8 years old or something. And I don't remember that shit. I don't need that for my job. Actually, probably wouldn't have ever had my job of 20 years of morning radio had I known
bad
it is for you to have such irregular hours like that aren't in, that you don't get to see the sunrise. So I've been like trying to educate myself more on what this body needs, to help it do its thing naturally. Big thank you to show sponsor Early Bird CBD Gummies. They're from right here in Austin. But you don't have to live here to get them. Guys, wherever you are in the whole world, you can order Early Bird CBD gummies at earlybirdcbd.com/deb. Makes it super convenient. You can get them in little 4-packs and bottles of 30 of them. And why take these, you ask? Why, Deb? What are you getting into this gummy world for? Well, it's a good fit today, actually, with today's podcast subject. About mental health and mental health fitness and awareness and taking care of yourself, is that Early Bird CBD gummies really helped me with that. Not only is there CBD in there, which we all know is good for our bodies, but there's THC in there as well. And that's going to help you relax. It's what it does for me. I was telling actually the guys who started CBD, Early Bird CBD, that I, for a long time, was on anti-depression medication, anti-anxiety medication. And I'm not right now. I started trying to do without it a while ago, and Early Bird CBD gummies really does help me. They're formulated for fun, so you're not going to get too whacked out on these things. And I sound like such a boomer. You're going to get all whacked out on the THC, but it's true. I don't want to get whacked out. And if you do, you know where to go and get your stuff, right? You don't need me to tell you about it here. But if you're looking to relax, if you want to just have a fun, chill vibe, Early Bird CBD gummies are where it's at. Order yours today, earlybirdcbd.com/deb. That gets you 20% off everything on the website. You know what one of the best smells is around the holiday season? Actually around any holiday. It doesn't have to be the holiday season, but it's, for me, it's food, right? It's all the deliciousness that you associate with your favorite holiday. And honestly, that's why I'm going to be taking some festive kitchen treats with me to my holiday parties this year. And I go to a lot because I'm not really good at hosting. So my friends know that I'll bring stuff. I'm not really that good at cooking either. I mean, I do like to host, but I'm not going to cook a big giant meal. I'm not good at that. So festivekitchen.com allows me to order stuff that looks like it's being handmade, feels like it's being handmade, tastes like it's being handmade by your best grandma, because they do hand make everything. All right. And they like stick to a lot of traditional sort of festive dishes, as well as comfort food, the things that you love, mac and cheese. Yes. Enchiladas. Yes. And of course, tons more, but also things like cookie dough cookies. They ship you frozen cookie dough balls, and the smell of cookies in the house, who doesn't love that? Not just really for holidays, but any time of the year. Order yours right now. The Festive Kitchen menu is huge and great for any celebration. Visit festivekitchen.com/deb. That's for 20% off your first order. festivekitchen.com/deb. There's a podcast I listen to. I'm not going to say his name here, just have to figure it out. But the guy's a neurobiologist. He's super smart. And he addresses the term biohacking, because I would have called myself a biohacking enthusiast. Like, I like to read about these things, go, oh, okay, circadian rhythms is going to help me get to sleep at night. But he hates that phrase because he says these aren't hacks. A hack is a cheat, right? You go to a hacker because you want to get in someone's website, or that's cheating. That's doing something illicitly. What we're doing is taking this data that our bodies have given us, that we've studied for however long we've been studying our bodies and what we've learned about nature and our, you know, again, going back to who we are as humans, what we are as these animals. That's not, we're not hacking anything. We're just saying, thank you for that information. I'm going to implement it in my life. So I've been, you know, for want of a better phrase, I've been really looking at biohacks and sleeping well. And so that's an important one. Also, when you exercise, and keeping that specific time of day is pretty important as well. And then I drink this golden milk at night. It's called golden milk. It's a turmeric drink.
Okay.
And I heat up some almond milk and I plonk that in there, and it is flipping delicious. And it's, I will tout this, not a client, but you can be if you want. Organifi is the brand, and I order it online. And turmeric's an anti-inflammatory, but it also, it's got all these other things in it as well that are just really good to help you chill the night. I try not to look at my phone in the hour or so before I go to bed. I've put an alarm on my phone, a wake up time and a sleepy time, that says now, hey, you should be chilling out. Like, if you're watching a movie, you're not going to see the end of it, or stuff like that. So I'm not biohacking, but I'm looking at the data that our bodies have given us. And I've said, all right, I'm trying to do that. And I try and keep a regular bedtime schedule. And then if I wait, I'll get to sleep, but I oftentimes wake up in the night, and that's when it's like, now this is going to be like this for the rest of the night.
Yeah.
It's dark. And
it's nothing worse. There's nothing worse.
It's a horrible feeling when you've got so much on your mind anyway. The last thing you need to be is alone with that in the middle of the night. For some reason, it just always feels horrible. So I will open my phone up and open up YouTube, and I will find some yoga nidra.
Yoga nidra.
Yoga nidra is N-I-D-R-A, some yoga nidra sleep meditations. And again, I learned this from the biohacker guy, but it's a really simple meditation, and it's just someone's reading to you, and you can find a nice voice, a female or a male, whatever appeals to you, any accents, and you can find all these different accents. You sort of go through what they're telling you to do. It's like a body part thing. You go through your body parts, and that works sometimes. I found that I also like the rain and thunderstorms sounds.
Ooh, falling asleep to rain is the best.
Isn't it the best? I'd never thought about looking up a video or, you know, some audio track that gave you that. And I was like, why didn't I do that? That was dumb. But now, so I've been doing that recently as well. And you know what? It's not 100%. It doesn't always work, but I've got the tools now, and, you know, to throw these things at, because I tell you, I'll be honest, there've been times in the past where if I've woken up in the middle of the night, and I know I've got several hours before I'm supposed to get up, I have most definitely got up and had 3 glasses of wine and gone back to bed, because I'm like, well, this will help me drop off. Well, yeah, it will. But then also, you're not getting proper sleep when you're drink sleep is not sleep. And so that's another one. And then, so I try not to do that. But I've got a combination of things. And I find that the middle of the night waking up is worse for me than the going to sleep, because the early bird CBD gummies help a little bit. The sleepy time thing helps a little bit. And every now and then I'll take like an over-the-counter sleep aid. It's natural. Melatonin is an interesting one because my podcast guy, he's not all about it for everyone. He said it's almost like looking at melatonin for sleep is very similar to looking at caffeine for wakefulness. It affects everybody differently. Mm. I won't drink coffee after 2 p.m.
Oh, I can't do it anymore too. I used to be like a 3-4 cup guy, like throughout the day. No. Well, I mean, when you're doing radio.
Well, no, I had a rule. There was no coffee after when I was getting up early and doing my show starting at 6, I would have between 1 and 2 cups and sometimes 2 is too much. And never after the show, never after 10 a.m. In the show. But if I was super tired, maybe and I knew I wasn't getting a nap, but people can be very sensitive. And I'm still about that level, 1.5 to 2 cups. I really rarely ever have over 2. And I'm just talking regular cups that I make at home. But yeah, that just like melatonin, caffeine is different the way it affects everyone. Yeah. So that's another thing to think about. If you're thinking about trying melatonin, you might want to experiment with it a little bit in different doses. So what about you then? What gets you to sleep or what helps you when you've got all the nonsense going around and around and it won't shut up? Shut the hell up there. I'm trying to get some sleep.
that screaming in the head is way nicer than mine. Mine is curse laden, you piece of shit. Go the fuck to sleep. What is wrong with you? This is why you suck as a human being.
Oh,
like it's very harsh. I have that very harsh inner voice, like I'm sure other people do.
Well, wait, hang on. Before you answer the sleep thing, let me go back to something you asked me and I went off subject about, but it plays into this self-doubt talk. You know, how does that work to turn that off? I have started employing it with my friends. If my friend will say, oh God, I'm so fat or, you know, whatever it is, I'm like, don't talk to my friend like that. Oh no, don't talk about my friend like that. And so I have a few friends of us that we say that to each other now. And so that's become quite natural between us as friends. And we kind of joke about it, but we're serious. So I'm really trying to do that to myself.
That's perfect. That's what you gotta do, right?
Like, do that to myself. Yeah. Like I wouldn't, if I was my best friend, I'd punch someone in the face for the things they'd say to my best friend. No one talks to my friends like that. I'm seriously like very, like really loyal about my friends and family. And I get very upset with the thought of anyone like taking advantage of them or like, ooh, don't you do my friends wrong. It's real personal for me. And so I'm trying to give myself the love that they would give me or that I would give my friends.
Isn't that the hardest thing to do?
Really hard.
I can't do it. I know. One of my favorite things, I haven't been able to do it because of COVID, which is really disappointing. And everybody has their thing that they haven't been able to do. Mm. But group therapy for me was one of the best things I've ever done. Because it's walking into a room full of mirrors every single day. And then people that hold you accountable saying the stuff that you just did. Like, Tyler, why do you talk about yourself? Every time you come in here, you are your own worst critic, you know, and on and on and on. And it's tough to have that self-love. It's really, really hard.
Really tough. I don't like group therapy.
And again, it's not for everybody.
Right.
And I got to tell you, I like hearing about the biohacks and stuff like that because I'm not Tom Cruise. I'm not here to tell you to not take medication. Like I believe in medication. And for me being bipolar, I have to be on a certain medication.
Yeah, you need
However, I'm trying to get off my sleep medication. Mm. I don't want people having to take it unless you absolutely have to. So if the worst thing with your golden milk, if it doesn't work for somebody else, well, you drank some milk and you got some
turmeric,
some almonds in you.
And it's delicious.
It's not bad. Didn't work for you. Move on to the next thing. At least it's not like, you know, taking a heavy sleeping pill that you could get addicted to.
Ooh.
That's the tough stuff.
So that's what you do. You have to take a sleeping pill.
I really don't. I've been trying to work on my own process to try and get there. So.
Yeah. With the sleep thing, I think it's like many other things. God, we can relate it to maybe working out, right? Like what works for me isn't going to work for everybody. And I just had lunch today with a friend of mine who's an ultra runner. That's like 90, 100 miles plus. Like these...
That's too long.
Her and her husband both do it and they're good at it. They've got like world records and they love it, right? They're not just good at it, but they love it. That's their life. And that's just never going to work for me. And so, but she doesn't even say, this is the only way to be fit. This is the only way to get exercise. I mean, but there are a lot of people that are CrossFit. But I did CrossFit for a while.
So do I.
They do think they're the best. But yeah, it's not for everyone. So yeah, with sleep schedule, I think you got to play around with that magic beast. Whatever, you know, get a big tool belt. No one's going to laugh at you for having too many tools that you don't use, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Everyone's got that one friend with an air compressor that he uses once every 8 years, but it's nice to have it, right? Because he knows he doesn't have to go and borrow it from a friend. So, you know, get all these tools, and if you don't use them, they're fine, but you've always got them.
Yeah, thing that works for you, you're going to keep for the rest of your life.
Exactly.
So that's the best thing.
Yeah. So what do you do then on top of trying not to take this sleep medicine? Do you do meditation? Ever worked for you?
It hasn't. Cause my brain just rejects it so much. Like, kind of going back to like you, when we first met, we talked about, the meditation that you're kind of doing, and that interests me because I'm good with community. I'm not good solo, is a point that I'm trying to get to.
Yeah. No, but yeah. It's one of those things. It's like, yeah, you can learn. I learned to scuba dive because I'm terribly afraid of dark water, because obviously there are sharks in every body of dark water. Yeah, yeah. So I did lessons. I was living in Spain at the time and took lessons and learned. And now I still don't really love it, and I'm like okay at it, but I did it. You know, I did it so I would have that and. You know, you don't have to enjoy everything that you do that is good for you. And so I look at the meditation like that, because I can't do it on my own. I only ever do guided. I have my meditation is an online community. It's actually in Austin, but you can go on there from anywhere in the world. And it's just called Austin Meditation Center. And they do Zoom meditation, which they pivoted to last year. But I imagine it's just worked wonderfully for them, for most people.
Yeah.
But I bet you there are some people who had to go to Zoom were like, oh, this is awful. I wanted to be with my meditation leader. I wanted to feel that group setting. So again, you got to play with that. And I haven't done group in-person meditation yet with my team,
Do you think you would like it? I like it right now, so I don't want it to change. So I'm just going to kind of stick.
Yeah,
with
I'm not sure, because they've said you can come in for your meditation. I'm like, no, so I'm kind of good. Yeah.
Then if you're good, you're good, yeah. Right?
I mean, I might love it, but also I find it super convenient. And this is where I think this particular one that I do is really, it's just great for me, because I can do it from home. I do it in the morning, to sort of, you know, try and start that day off as well as I can. And you can do it any time of the day, and you can do it around your schedule. And, I think because it's guided, it takes a lot of your own brain work out. And now there are periods of quiet where they'll say, all right, you have 10 minutes to do this task. And oh, you go off topic.
That sounds like a nightmare zone
you
to go me, off just
topic.
To me.
Yeah. You do go off topic, but then you remember that you're sitting there with your eyes closed. I do mine on the couch, and I've always got a pile of animals around me, which is, I enjoy. I like that. That's nice.
Are you a touch person? Is that kind of like one of your love languages, is like touch,
yes,
having that kind of
comfort? I believe
so.
I'm very tactile, but also they keep me warm and they're just cute and I love them. I'm a big animal lover. So it's nice to have them there and be in the space. So, but yeah, I don't know if I'd like that in person solo or in person group.
I think what you're talking about, though, that I hone in on is like self-identifying what works for you, because that's the only thing that matters. It doesn't have to look pretty to the outside world.
Exactly. Yeah. Absolutely. It's like sex, right? I mean,
yeah, whatever gets you there.
You have to do what you have to do that works for you. And with the other person, you got to have that communication and let them know that this is how it works, because it's not going to be the same with everyone ever. It's not going to be, not everyone's boat is floated the same way. And so with mental health, I think that's important for everyone to think about too, because, yeah, you see the depictions of certain things on screen or in social media, and it's, you know, you might think, well, that's not me, or that is me, but it's not you. So yeah, introspection. But like we just said, God, we started the beginning off saying, when you're in it, you don't know you're in it. So how do you identify it? How do you work it out? You know, that's kind of a chicken and egg situation, but somehow the chicken or the egg did get here first, because we have both of them. So you know, there's ways to get to it. I remember, I'll tell you about my my first dealings, I think, first dealings with it. I always look back on my life and say, well, was I depressed then, or was I just like 19? You know,
it's hard to know.
Was I depressed or did I just have a terrible breakup? You know, was I depressed or did my dad die? You know, what is it that happened? And so I think the real one for me was I had a car accident and it was pretty bad. I got T-boned and honestly, I didn't have my seatbelt on. I just got in the car. It was like a block or two away from home. And I don't know, I just hadn't done it. And so that was dumb, but I got thrown across the car and hit my head and cut. I have a little scar, this scar here. You can see it's like a little bump, if anything. It just looks like a little bump there, but that cut my eyebrow open. But I got a concussion. And that day, I developed a stutter. And that in itself wasn't so bad. The stutter wasn't bad at all. It was actually funny. On air, we would make fun of me because I couldn't say certain words without stuttering. And as a presenter on the radio, you got to be able to talk. That you're not going to keep that job for long. So that lasted and got progressively less bad about 3 months. But I also had headaches really bad for about 2 years, actually, and memory loss. And that didn't last too long either, but for a period of a few months, I'd be at work talking about the show with my then partner and I'd say, oh, don't let me forget. I want to tell you the story about X, Y, and Z. And he literally had said to me multiple times, we did that at 7:30. We talked about that at 6:15 and I would have no recollection of it. And that was very just random short-term memory loss that didn't go on for a long time. But then on top of that, came depression. Now, it didn't come immediately. It came several months after, or it crept up to the point where I was like, okay, I'm depressed, and panic attacks and anxiety. And it all just kind of happened in a few months after that. The panic attacks were awful. If you've never had a panic attack, you probably have, I'm sure. Goddamn expert. I am the king of panic attacks, but I'd never had one. And I was telling it to my therapist and he's like, that's a panic attack. All right, let's do some coping skills, breathing. And I had noticed that there were these seriously wrong things and happening when like the panic attacks would happen when I don't think they should have happened. I started getting weird about going out like downtown with my friends. I'd always been a super social person. Going out to, you know, bars and restaurants.
I mean, that's how we ran into each other so many times. Yeah.
Right.
I was the same.
Yeah. And I enjoyed going out. And now if you ask me if I want to go out, say, I'm like, can we just come over here and can we just do that? And I think that is it's an obvious sign of getting older. You don't want to go out anyway. But this was in my early 30s and I was, you know, the height of my beauty and sexiness and you know, great social circle. Not many friends had kids. But I'd be getting ready to go out and I would start the heart racing, the palpitations, and then the heavy breathing. And I didn't know for a while what it was. And then the association with going out I don't know what that had to do with a car accident or a head injury, but that's how it happened. And I went to a therapist and he was lovely. And then I also went to see my GP, my doctor, who'd been my family doctor for several years at this point. So he knew me quite well and said, all right, we'll get you on, you know, a combination of antidepressants. And then later on he added anti-anxiety, which is, if you don't know, it's like a quick release, depending on you and maybe what you've eaten is in your system. If you're having, like if you're in the middle of a panic attack and you can't come down. And to be fair, that comes with a side portion of placebo as well when you're having a panic attack, in my opinion, which is a helpful tool to say, oh, I've taken this. This isn't going to last forever. Because again, when you're in a panic attack, there is no end in sight. And some of them can be quick. And I've really learned breathing. Oh my God. I remember now after, you know, first telling my therapist about the panic attack, he said, all right, we're going to work on some breathing techniques. And I did that with him. And I think I just forgot all about that because now since I've been doing my meditation and reading about more biohacking, I'm like breathing. Oh my God. Wait, hold on a minute. I remember being a child and told, you know, to breathe. Now it's different then, I think. They're like, calm down, just breathe, right? And now they're doing way more active breathing with children. So many more kids know about in through the nose, out through the mouth. And you know, you think it might be some mumbo jumbo, some hippie shit, some, oh, don't be condescending and tell me to breathe. Whatever you might think it is, you're wrong, because it is your body's natural way. Animals do it. Did you know that when, not always, but oftentimes when you see your dog and you tell him you're going to go out for a walk, I spelt it in case you're listening to it with your dog, but they might, well, obviously they act excited in many ways, but they'll oftentimes go down for a downward dog and yawn. And I asked my vet about it once, because I'm like, what is that? It's a calming mechanism. Dogs yawn because it calms them. Breathing is like that for us. We, our bodies go, okay, it's like a reset. And you can learn breathing techniques really easily for free. It's really easy. And that is another thing that is like, again, we unlearn it, or we pigeonhole it as, you know, oh, that's some hippie shit, right? Or that's some Eastern medicine nonsense, or whatever it might be. But again, back to that toolbox. Why not take a piece of Eastern medicine out of that toolbox? Mm-hmm. They've been practicing medicine longer than Western medicine. So why can't we use a combination?
I mean, if you watch my second episode of my series, we had a doctor on who, that's all we did was breathing exercises.
Oh.
It was literally like you put out your hand.
Okay, we're doing one now?
I think I'm doing right. This right.
Okay.
So basically we breathe up every time.
To the top of the thumb.
And then we go back down. Yeah. And then we.
That's good. You look at your hands all day. They're right there. You can't leave them at home.
And I'm one of those people that when I listen to you, and if I was listening to you right
You'd
now talking, I'd
it.
Be like, fuck you.
Oh, really?
I'm not going to fucking breathe. I'm not going to do this. And then I would do it and I'd be like, all right, fine. You were right. I don't like that you were right. It makes me angry that I'm, and now I got to do it again. And now I got to breathe again.
It's been a few weeks now. Can you tell any difference? Have a quick look. Well, if you're just listening to the podcast, you can't see. If you're watching it here on YouTube, you can see that I had some laser treatment done at Refine Aesthetics recently. That's refineaesthetics.com. They're right here in Austin. They're veteran practitioners, meaning they've been in the business for years. I think the whole staff, they told me the other day, 40 years experience working in this industry. You've also got physician's assistants working there, and you know that they're like super high, like right there next to the doctors, maybe just slightly below, but right there. They can they've got the education, they've got the professional know-how, but they've got the artistry that a lot of doctors don't have. So they're perfect to be in this aesthetics world, the folks at Refine Aesthetics are. And I went to them just saying, look, it's been a while. Thanks, COVID. I haven't had any facials done or anything, but I need some help. All right. I need brightening. I've also got fine lines, wrinkles, and I've got some hyperpigmentation on my cheeks. I used to be super freckly and I try and stay out of the sun. And they said, yeah, we can help you with that. And they did. I love it. I hope you can notice the difference, because that's why I did it, right? But I did it for myself too. I like looking in the mirror and seeing the reflection of something that I like to look at. And the BBL light therapy laser is what I got, the BBL light therapy. And again, it addresses all of those issues I just mentioned about, as well as evening out the skin tone. And the best thing is it stimulates collagen, which we all know helps with, elasticity and plumpiness and just that youthful vibe. So if you're looking for a little bit of a glow, maybe you are looking for a real artist with that medical touch for your Botox or fillers, other injectables, they are the go-to folks for you. Courtney and the girls over at Refine Aesthetics. Mention the podcast, my podcast, Deb O'Keefe Podcast, to get 15% off your treatment at refineaesthetics.com.
I know for me, I have a trainer, because working out for me is extremely beneficial.
Yep.
And for those of you that can't work out, there's still things that you can do physically. Mm. Even if you are bound to a wheelchair or have that, there's things you can do.
Yeah.
My trainer, I'm one of those people that when I got her, I'm like, I want you to be a dictator. I want you to turn me, just beat the shit out of me. We start every workout with a hug.
Oh,
she makes me hug her, and yes. I hate it, but my body loves it.
Yeah.
And then she has me do breathing exercises before I can even get to go do the fun things that I
very
want to
rare
do.
Of a trainer.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
And it's changed me, and like physically I feel better. I had a back injury about 3-4 years ago. Not anywhere near your trauma, which it makes sense that your trauma led to those different things.
Yeah.
That very much can happen for a lot of different people. But it's made things better, and I hate it that it's made things better. So it's a good reinforcement, because that's all mental health is reinforcement every single day as much as we can to try and get to the levels we need to get to.
Yeah. Again, because it's like going back to that childhood education. How did we learn most things as a child? repetition.
Just over and over
again. Oh, you just get up walking. For the first thing we do, we learn is walking, right? Do we learn walking before we learn anything else? I don't know. But we're, I don't have kids. It's one of the things they learn, I guess.
You got to walk.
But yeah, and they just get back down and get back up again. And you just have to keep doing it. And it can be frustrating. And, thinking, oh, I'm learning all this stuff. I'm done with learning. I've got those learning years behind me. But to be a successful human being, you have to continue to learn and try and evolve just keep growing mentally and adding those things to your tool belt.
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't work for you, then you don't have to use it. That's fine.
And I think I want everybody to try it. If anybody's listening to this and is curious, go check out the show, and everything you're talking about is spot on. Like, I'm not a religious person. I really hope there's an afterlife. I have no idea. We are monkeys floating on a space rock. This place is on fire.
Oh my God, it's on fire.
At the very least, in this reality, you are owed a little bit of happiness. And if you can get there, then it's all worth it. I think I've touched happiness a few times in my life and it was wonderful. Mm. So I'm going to just try and get back there. And then I think that's what the whole goal of anybody trying to talk to you about their mental health or trying to improve it, or breathing exercises, what's working at home for sleep, like, give it to yourself to be happy.
Yeah.
That's one of the reasons I haven't taken your early bird stuff yet, is because I have a very hard time accepting, like a lot of other people, they have a hard time receiving. You talk about how you'll criticize your friend for being mean at herself, right? Or back to you. You have a hard time receiving that.
Very.
So I'm worried if I take those things and they feel good and I feel happy, I'm going to be like, I'm not owed this.
I don't know what to do with this.
I don't like this emotion. I'm okay right now. What the fuck do I do? Because I'm never not okay. And that's a process that I got to work on in so many other people.
Yeah, because you do deserve it.
Everybody does.
I got a little bit emotional then. You do deserve it. Everybody deserves to be happy. And to go back to you talking about your trainer, that hug.
Oh my God.
Oh, don't want a hug. You're a child. Come here. Just give mommy a hug. You need it.
Deb, I melt. My body melts every time she does it. I'm like, I love you. Thank you. All right, let's go.
Last year, I had a hard time with no hugs. And I'm not an over-hugger. I don't like to hug a stranger. And I know everyone, But you know, a lot of people, you'll meet someone and they'll go, oh, nice to meet you. And I'm like, I literally just learned your name. And so I've done it. It's not like I haven't done it, but
handshake first, right? And then second time meeting, are you a hugger? Because I like handshake first.
Handshake first. And then I think it just depends what type of relationship is and where it's going, and what the ongoing relationship is going to be. I nearly made a really, really crude joke then, but serious podcast here about mental. No, it's a sex joke, but cause sometimes you just end up banging the person the second time you see them. And they're not even anyway,
well, that's okay if that happens. If it's consensual and you guys are happy in that moment, then you're good to go.
That happens. It does happen. But yeah, I don't know. It just depends on that. But the hug from people that you do hug regularly or did hug regularly, that was really sorely missed by me last year. And I think I've realized that that is something I need as well. Maybe that's why I surround myself with animals all the time, because they're always ready. This one, this fart face Alfie, just is.
Oh, he's such a good boy.
Oh my God, he's so good.
Pleasure to meet.
He's so fun.
Gentleman.
He loves me so much. I'm his favorite thing in the world. And you can't say that about many other things, right? I mean, actually, all my animals feel that way about me. I think most people's animals feel that way about them. I'm not just super special, but to feel that from someone is really nice. If you ever get it from a human and you believe in it, that's probably the pinnacle of it then, right? That you get this back. But it was, I think last year, that probably not just me, I'm sure there were others that not having physical touch really affected their mental health during COVID, not getting out and seeing friends as much and family.
Do you want me to tell you something like super sad?
I'm really slightly emo today.
Kind of a happy ending though.
Go for
I'll
it.
Say it
Go
as far as it. Like, you're talking about not having that thing or, you know, whatever that is. I don't think love has to be like, you know, partner. It can be anything, right? It can be whatever that universal bond is worth searching for. So I'm the biggest believer in therapy in the world. I think everybody should come pre-made with a therapist. The moment you enter into this world, that's exactly what you should get. And kind of going back to like what works for you, like when it comes to therapists, like so many different people are like, you know, they go find one or like, well, I guess this is who I'm stuck with. And they hate it. It's like, find the person that you're more comfortable with.
Yeah.
Find the same sex. Find somebody with the same lifestyle as you. If you're not straight, go find somebody who's a gay, lesbian, you know, LGBTQIA plus doctor. Like, go get that.
Yeah.
I found mine after searching forever, and she was the exact opposite of me. She was, she'd never seen any movies. Film has been my life. So I'd always be like, so, you know, in Star Wars, she's like, I haven't seen it. I'm like, you got to be fucking kidding me. Why do I keep coming to see you every week? You drive me nuts.
That's clearly a telling tale, though, because that's obviously what you need. It's like the hug from the trainer.
Exactly.
You think you want to get your ass beaten, but what you really need is a cuddle.
You get what you need.
Mm.
And so this person that I did therapy with her for 8 years. And she sent me down every single road. So I've tried AA, done group therapy, done intensive outpatient care. She's taught me a lot of the biohacking things as well and stuff like that. And I started to get to this point, and this is what I try and tell people with therapy is, I'm not saying it's going to be your experience, but like ours became an unconventional relationship where we'd go to the Greenbelt instead of the office.
Oh, that's
we'd
lovely.
Go sit outside instead of being indoors. And that's kind of a rare thing. And you kind of have to have that bond that we did. And I love her. Love her.
That's magical.
I think she loved me. I don't know. We'll see.
She's like, Tyler who? Oh, that guy. Yeah, he's
patient 129. Yes.
He pays the bills.
But she gave me all the tools to where, even though I'm not great right now, the person I am today than I was 10 years ago is like night and day difference. People don't even recognize me.
Mm.
And the process that she allowed me to started getting me to this place where I didn't go see her when I was bad. I only went to go see her when I was good. Because I talked about the tool belt and adding all these things. I would just go kind of report back to her like, hey, this is kind of what I'm going through and this is how I'm dealing with it. Because a lot of people use therapy as kind of like, and I don't want to say it like the weekly trash, but you go to your therapist, you dump, you leave, you don't work on anything. You go back the next week, we dump and we just rinse and repeat and nothing ever gets done if you don't do the work yourself, which is the hardest
thing to do. I've definitely had periods of therapy where that's been me.
I saw her 2 times a week for 2 years and I didn't work on shit.
Wow, that's intense.
Yep, and I didn't work on shit and I tried to kill myself during that time period. So like I clearly was not working on anything, but I got to the point that I was. And the last time I saw her, which was about, it was in June or maybe May, we had finally gotten to this point where like she would do this thing where she'd come like just sit next to me, like shoulder to shoulder, and we just sit there. And it was one of those things I learned and I tried to tell other people, just go sit with somebody. It's like, it'll change your life. But it finally got to this point where she almost gave me like the master's tip of the cap, like you're good now. And I say this and I preface all this stuff to say that this person didn't do all this stuff for me. This person had her own life, all this stuff like that. But she passed away about 2 weeks before I started my show, which so much of it was about her.
No.
And all the process. And
devastating.
So, I know. Isn't that sad? It's extremely sad.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for you, but obviously her family as well.
Exactly. That's her family.
Her family and her huge client list, I'm sure that left some holes in people's lives. But my gosh, you said there's a happy-ish ending, but she got you to a great place.
Yeah. And I know that
could have been a fucking spiral point for you a few years ago, you know, losing that trusted support system that somebody that you really felt comfortable with. And I'm sure this has happened to people suffering with mental health issues that they've lost their therapist for some reason. And then that's it. They can't deal with it.
I say it to not that this woman sacrificed herself for me at any point like this, what she meant to other people, if she meant that much to me, without a doubt, she meant so much. And her family is the one that I first thought about, as everybody does, is like, that's just not fair.
Mm.
But I guess the lesson it taught me and why I speak about it is that we all know that life is going to blindside sucker punch you, like you getting into a car accident. There's nothing we can do about it. And it's about weathering those storms. But it's really about that when you have somebody extend a hand to help, you should put fucking everything into it.
Yeah.
Everything.
You're right. Because, you know, you'll sit there for an hour, maybe that's the average session, right? An hour. Some I've gone longer before, but you are talking. It's the practice every day. It's like, you know, you can tell a child, all right, you're going to put one foot in front of the other, center your balance and not hold on to anything. They're not going to get that ever. They're never going to get that if you just tell them that. They'll need to back it up with, that's what they meant by that. I can't just flop down on my ass every time. I've got to work on the balance of walking. It's a very similar situation that you can't just sit there and say, well, I'm going to therapy. That's helping, right?
There's one thing I've learned, and I'm still practicing this and working on it, because I learned this at least from her, is that if you do truly love somebody, like, the way to honor them is to give love back, which is so hard for us to do, right? We treat the people we love the most the shittiest.
It's horrible, isn't it?
Right. So trying to, like, give back what she gave to me, like, I'm obligated, like, I have to. That's the whole point.
Yeah.
So I say that for a variety of reasons, to tell that story for people to, like, go get a therapist, because the bond can be unbelievable. It can change your life. And that, as you've been talking about this entire show, is that the more tools you have, and the better you start treating yourself and others. And it's all these basic things, right? Yeah. That, like, we learned, no matter where, like, if you went to Sunday school, or that's just how you grew up, treat your neighbor with respect, treat others how you'd want to be treated. It's all these things we forgot about.
Yeah.
That we got to get back to.
It is so basic, but it is something that we forget so often. And, you know, one of the reasons I wanted you to come on here is because you're a straight white man with a podcast.
Who would have thunk it?
Wow, that's a stereotype if I ever heard of that. Good looking straight white man with a beard who does CrossFit. Oh my God, you're fantastic. But, you know, that's someone who's not going to be asking for much help, or, you know, maybe somebody that won't step outside of what they're comfortable with. And I think it's great to hear a message about asking for help from somebody like you.
I need people like me that look like me. I need y'all to start talking.
Yes.
Because you guys are ruining the planet. Yes. And you have to get better.
It's, you know, I read an article today about some stupid lawmaker, Republican, of course.
Seriously? That's so shocking. Well,
sorry, I'm completely racialist. I'm definitely on the other side, but was talking about how feminist culture and the woke left have essentially pushed men to watching more porn and playing more video games. Like, we did that because we're making their toxic behavior, taking away their manhood. And if that's, you know, if being a dick is what makes you a man, you need to rethink that, because it's not true. And it can really cause a lot of other problems as well. Like, we've talked about, you know, when you've done learning and you start being a human being and living in the world and contributing, and you take all those bad habits on, you get to a point where 20 years later, you're like, oh, this is the way to do it. And then you have a realization like ours. Well, no, it's not. It's actually damaging me and the people around me. It's going to be a lot harder to undo those 20 years of bad habits or bad learning or just being entitled as a straight white man. So thank you for being a straight white man with a podcast. Talking to hopefully the other straight white men with podcasts out there. And I'm not, you know, when I say straight white man, I've had some comments of people, you know, hating on me for that. And I'm not, it's obviously not all of you, but, you know, let's look at anything that's been ruined. Well, and it's usually by straight white men.
Well, like, it's one of those things.
Countries, you know.
If something affects you, you hear a comment like that and it makes you angry, that ain't about that person saying it. It's about you. Why does that make you angry?
Yeah.
So it doesn't make me angry when you say that. I will say something, though, to it.
Yes.
Is that the moniker man is something that I've not accepted yet in my life, which is more of a personal thing. We don't have to go into it, but I don't feel like a man.
Interesting.
I don't feel like I've necessarily earned or gotten to the point where I can be like, because my idea of man is not what a lot of men think, you know, it is. It's not.
Right. We're just shown so many images that are the wrong thing.
The wrong thing. And I don't think, so I don't want to really be associated with that yet. Like, I don't think I've earned the rank of, like, what a good man would be.
We could just put the hue in front of it and just be a good human. We don't even have to, you know, make it about male or female, because obviously a lot of, and this is a controversial topic as well, but a lot of what is gender is learned behavior from what structures straight white men have put in society, the way women physically look, the clothing that we've traditionally had over, you know, generations, our positions in the household, in the workforce, they were put upon us by men. So, you know, if I'm to call myself, you know, a woman, where is that? Is that their definition of that? Is that what right. I define as a woman. And therefore, if you don't even identify as a woman yet you were born as one, there's all kinds of problems that can be, you know, gendered or come with gendering. But I, you know, I live a bit of a golden rule. You know, I was brought up Catholic and I don't believe in shit, but I think the amount of, like, I had horrible times there, the guilt, this Catholic school, the whole lot, like, you know, confession in the stationery cupboard.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
It just at school, like at everyday school, it was a nightmare. But yeah, and the fact that it's just silly stories. But actually, there are some great stories and great examples in that come from organized religion. And with the one that I grew up with, it happens to be Catholicism, and I got, you know, given the Bible. And I like to think of a bunch of stories written by a lot of well-meaning people that then got co-opted into another publication. That's a different podcast entirely. But there are some great lessons. And the one I stick with is the golden rule, right? To do unto others. And to take on from that, being a good human doesn't mean about do unto others as you would wish to be done to yourself, or however the words go, but because that seems a little selfish, right? Like, I'm only being nice to you because I want you to be nice to me. It could be perceived that way, but I take it a little step further. And I believe that as a human who is generally able-bodied, all right, I'm a bit creaky here and there, generally got my wits about me. I've got some mental health struggles, but I'm working on those. But meaning I'm with it, right? I can get through the day. I can drive my car. I can navigate a supermarket. I can do things that are difficult for others. But as that human person who's living in this planet amongst humans, and by the way, I also believe, and so I'm going a bit preachy here, but I believe if you live in a town or a city or if you've decided to live in a society, you've signed like a moral agreement that you're going to behave in a certain way. It's like we all agreed which side of the road we're going to drive on in certain countries, right? You start going down the other side of the road, it's chaos.
Well, you guys are the only ones that are holding back on
that. We are not the only ones.
You and like two other people.
There's like maybe five. But anyway, yeah, good point. But if we decided to do what we wanted to do, society would be chaos. We've agreed to live under a certain amount of rules. And these, you know, anti-vaxxers and non-maskers currently right now, you're just bonkers, all right? You agree to live in society. You want the benefits of a paved road, yet you won't do what is for the benefits of society. Like, get out. Go live in the woods then, right? But I believe that within that moral agreement that I believe, you know, we've all decided to agree to because we're in a civilized society, is the fact that we use this human body that generally works, this human brain that can get about. And if you see anyone that isn't as able-bodied or brained as you, or is a minority person, whether it be for their heritage or their sexuality or their group, whatever it might be, and they have a problem, I believe it's our moral imperative to help others. And I believe it's our moral imperative to care about those around us, especially those who aren't able to take care of themselves, whether it be elderly, children, disabled, again, the groups I talked about before, the planet. I mean, that's not another human being, but we essentially have to take care of that because it takes care of us. But that's our job. And you know, that's why I've volunteered for years. And that's why my old partner used to call me a busybody, because if I see some shit going down in the neighborhood, I'm calling 311. And if they put me through to 911, then it was deemed serious enough. I used to live on the east side next to Givens Park. And
yeah,
I would walk my dog there. I lived there for 11 years. And I would walk my dog in the park every day, a couple of times a day. And one night it was dark. It was nine o'clock or so. And there's a little playground, jungle gym and swing set. And it's with, you know, maybe 40 foot walk from the car park. It's dark. There's no one in the park. There's a little girl on a swing facing away from like the rest of the park. She's facing the woods.
That's creepy.
Someone had put her in facing like the wrong way, and then she was on her own. And I'm freaking out. And I've told this story before, but I eventually picked her up and, you know, calmed, you know, with my dog. This is Blue. My name's Deb. What's your name? And she's sniveling, crying, couldn't make anything out. She's traumatized. And I'm like, where's your mommy? Where's your daddy? And so I'd see some people in the car park and I'm like, all right, I'm going to take this little girl. And it took me a couple minutes to walk over there because she was literally 2 years old. I just learned that walking thing. And I'm like, okay, there's some girls walking down there. Is that your mommy? Or do you know who that is? And I'm pointing. She's like, no. And then she says, oh, there's my mommy. And there's this woman just sitting in the car park. I could have taken her. I did take her child, actually. I could have taken her child and gone the other way, though, to the road and just taken that child. And she wouldn't have been able to stop me. She wouldn't have got there in time to get me or anybody who decided to take the child. But so I'm like, well, wait, I was just mind boggled. And I just was like, okay, bye. And she's like, thanks. And just puts the kid in the car. And she's smiling at me.
Wow.
I'm just, what is happening? I'm just really more confused by anything. I walk off and this guy walks towards me and he's like shaking his head at me. And I was like, yeah, did you see that? Like, that was just like, wow. And he turns back around as he walks up. He goes, no, that's my kid. And he, by the way, just walked out of the woods. So I'm figuring, done in there, gone in the woods and done shot up himself, you know, done some drugs. His druggy wife or whatever is waiting in the car. They put their kid facing away so she couldn't see what they were doing. And I'm immediately livid. And then I'm more livid that he is trying to tell me off about me going, oh, can you believe that? So I called 311. They put me through to 911. And I stayed and watched from around the back of a building until the police got there and stayed on the phone with them because there was two ways to go out of the park. And I was like, I don't know which way they're going to go. And yeah, I've been called busybody for that. That I find that to be absolute bullshit because we're able-bodied and we're supposed to be here to take care of our fellow man, especially those that can't take care of themselves. And your podcast, how are we today, right? Let's reach out. Let's reach out to our friends and family or be kind to a stranger in a brief interaction. I love that. I love doing that. That, you know, and we're hearing about it so much more nowadays. You never know what someone's going through. Be nice to somebody. But I don't think we've always been that way or that aware that that's a thing that's important.
And we got to get back to that place.
Yeah,
I mean, as tough as it is to say this, because the rational side of Tyler is like the anti-vaxxers, the Trump folk, they are subhuman. Those are the people that I actually need listening to my show the most. And those are the other people that I need reaching out for help the most. As much as that is gritty and dirty and not a lot of us want that, those people need help.
They need so much help. And you hear the stories of the ex-QAnoners, and they, a lot of times, were going through something in their personal life and their mental health that they, and there has been some serious mental health issues, like people delusions, seeing, you know, and that's, you know, you need some probable hospitalization and, you know, medical, medical care with drugs. But there are other people that are just maybe sad and lonely and a little bit depressed or, you know, have anxiety about the world. And these sites and these groups get hold of them and then they buy into them
because of their
state. And so, yeah, you know, as much as they make me angry and they're, you know, they're ruining the world right now, you know, if we're just civil and nice to each other and have a moment, it could get a little bit better.
It could be. Now I say that, but the Nazis that showed up on the bridge.
Oh, the bridge guys?
Well, I'm very surprised that nobody went. The first thing that came to my mind was Blues Brothers. And I'm like, how the hell is somebody not driving them off the bridge? And why am I not on Mopac right now to be that guy?
I tweeted about that. I said,
I tweeted, so
when are we going to go and get them? When are we going to go and kick them out of town?
I was surprised that I'm glad I wasn't there and having
too.
A day because I would have been like, We're just hurling towards the void. I've lived 33 years. I've had fun. You know, I've seen things.
You know, I have a rule that although I do get involved with things clearly, because of per my last story of 311 to 911, I can't get involved in rallies and protests because I know myself. Because if I see someone getting fucked up by it, whoever's on the other side, I'm going to get involved. Like, I mean, physically.
And then you'd be in jail and be in the headlines.
And I, you know, I no one wants that more than me.
I can't pay your bill. I make no money. So like, you'd be stuck in there. I don't know.
I just stay on the keyboards, but I'm like, what? Hey, we're going to beat these guys up, right? We still agree that Nazis are bad. I thought we all watched all the films and the documentaries and read the things.
Now, Deb, there's two sides to every argument.
Well, there are good people on both sides.
There's good people on both sides. We know that.
You know what? We might have to end it on that note because we're going to go a bit bonkers on that.
We can't. I don't know if we can stop it right now, but we can stop it before it starts. So us doing better at an earlier age, helping people out at an earlier age, maybe we can avoid all
that. Yeah. Watch your friends. See if they're getting fringy. Maybe they just need a hug. That's very simple. That's simplifying a really big issue. But yeah, physical contact, human contact, reaching out, Oh, I love, I'm going to give you a big hug when we get off.
Oh, I expect. Yeah, here we go.
And you're not going to be uncomfortable?
No, ma'am.
Because I'm a squeezer.
That's fine.
All right, Tyler Coe, thank you. You can tune into the How Are We Today podcast everywhere you get your podcasts. And I think you do a Twitch.
Yes, you're live on Twitch. Live on Twitch most Mondays at 7 p.m. Sometimes it fluctuates, but most of the time live on Twitch on Mondays.
It's a great free resource. Again, How Are We Today? And you can follow Tyler Coe at you just get your name, didn't you, at Tyler Coe?
Really creative names on both.
No, it's Knuckles. No, because not many people can get their own name.
That's true.
Now, anyway.
Well, it's the Tyler Coe because it's so important. And then
you are very important.
And then I'm Tyler Coe.
That's great, though.
Just establishing I know who I am.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm there.
That's how are we? Who are we? Is the next question. All right. Thank you, love. And I'll talk to you soon.
Hey, thank you so much.
Love you.
Love you too.
Well, I managed to get through a pretty serious topic interview without doing too much sex talk or bad language or rude jokes. So that was a success. And what a great guy, a good stand-up straight white man with a beard who does CrossFit for you right there. Good one. They do exist, ladies. With the great podcast, of course, How Are We Today? Give it a listen. And, you know, maybe it will help you through a moment. Or if you've got a friend, someone who's not doing too well, check in with them, recommend the podcast, check in with yourself, talk to your friends and family. I find that to be helpful. My friends and family know if I'm not talking to them, then there is probably something going on with me because I don't want to talk about it when I'm really bad. So be a good friend, be a good family member, be a good neighbor, be a good human. Be good to each other. Be nice to yourself. Don't talk about my friend like that. And give Tyler's podcast a listen. Oh, by the way, he told me right when he left that nobody calls him Tyler. Everyone calls him Coe. No one tells me that. I don't know that. So I called him Tyler the whole time and he hates it. He hates his name. Don't talk about my friend like that, Tyler. Sorry, Coe. Go listen to Coe's podcast and have a good day. And remember, there are other people that feel this way, but I love you. Thanks for listening. You can find more episodes and all of our other Hot Pie Media originals baked fresh daily at our home online at hotpiemedia.com, the Hot Pie Media YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.